one I was like okay with.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it at the end. The end. At the end. The end. Welcome to this week's episode of the Toddcast, everybody. Yep. Yay.
Sure.
I'm John, this is Justin. You know who we are. We've been through this before.
Yes, we have.
At least we hope you've been on the ride with us before.
If you haven't, welcome.
Where we
talk about pop culture, comic books, comic business, random music business.
Yeah.
General fun stuff to kick your mind off of the warped reality of our current society.
Well, or whatever reality you think you live in. Because sometimes, it can be way worse. But anyway, thanks for showing up and listening and watching. Just a couple things on the store side. Just so you guys know, we're still hiring in Elwood part-time, and we're hiring in Cranberry part-time. If you're interested, just send a resume or a letter of interest to either Elwood@ndcomics.com if you're interested in Elwood, or Cranberry@ndcomics.com if you're interested in Cranberry Township. That's Cranberry Township, north of Pittsburgh, by a little bit, not by the lot and the one way up by Franklin. That's Little Cranberry. That's not the same. Please make sure you know which Cranberry you're applying for.
Does that get confused a lot?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Wow.
Especially people that aren't from the area. And they're just like that's listening true. Or watching or something. And then also we have our 40 hours of 40 cent comics coming back again. That's going to be Labor Day weekend starting Friday from 4 to midnight. And then Saturday and Sunday, I believe, are both 8 a.m. to midnight both days. So it's going to be a long weekend. I'm going to be there for a couple of those shifts, so you'll see me for a little bit. I think I have one on Friday and then one on Sunday, I think. It's going to be a lot of fun. And pretty excited to watch people come and plow through a bunch of books again, especially if you didn't make it through the whole thing last time. Remember, we've had some stuff added to it because we add stuff once a month. So April or August, we added stuff to it. There's going to be that. Definitely check that out. That's going to be cool.
Everybody's been excited for it. It was really successful the first time. I've had people because I've been working out of the dollar room in the mills, and they're like, you guys going to do another 40 cent sale? I was like, we are. I was like, I don't know what the date was because you just made the announcement this week.
Yeah.
So now I can tell them it's on our socials. It is Labor Day weekend. And I'm like, there you go.
Not this weekend, but next weekend. So the 22nd, 23rd, if you're in the Harrisburg area, you get to hang out with our boss, Todd, at Harrisburg Comic and Pop Culture Show, whatever the hell they call it. Yeah. If you're in Morgantown area, you get to hang out with Justin and I at WV PopCon. Both are going to be a lot of fun. I am kind of sad that Todd sniped Harrisburg from me because I really like doing that show. It's totally cool. We're going to have a lot of cool stuff. We'll have the $3 Hot Modern with us. I think he's taking some $3 Silver Age with him. But then we're going to have a bunch of other stuff. I just don't know what exactly else we're going to have yet. I'll have that on Monday for you. We'll figure
I think
that
it's going to be a lot of pop figures. A lot of Funko.
We can. And they're going to be stupid cheap.
Yes.
Dumb cheap. Like real stupid, real, real stupid. Like come and buy a lot of them from us. Yep. Like we don't care. We're trying to get rid of them.
Yes.
Yes. So it'll be fun. That's pretty much all I got. But we are going to do a spoiler filled finale of the X-Men 97 at the end of this, just so you guys know. So we'll try to get through everything else quickly so we can
kind of
talk about that for a bit.
Rant. We're going to rant. A little bit of a rant. It, especially after our first season, this was definitely
No, stop. We're gonna do this at the end.
Yes.
Talk about your other shit you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, since we've been doing the celebrity deaths, these two, one hits me hard because it's on a personal level. There is Reggie Bannister. For those who don't know who that is Reggie from Phantasm. If you're a Phantasm fan, you know exactly who Reggie is. He's the guy that has the 4-barrel shotgun. He is basically the hero, like the main protagonist in the Phantasm movies. He was the ice cream delivery truck driver. I think it started back in the 70s there. And he helped the two brothers to battle the tall man. As a Phantasm fan myself, this sad me a little bit. These are old. Like, these were before my time. Like, the first two were before I was even born. So, but I love Phantasm. Jeez. As a horrorphilic. For those who don't know what Phantasm is, it is the horror flick with the shiny metal balls that have the little knives that come out and kill people. That is basically how everybody knows Phantasm. So Reggie has passed away. He was 80, so he lived a long time. Was it Christy Knowings, who apparently she was in a coma. So her family decided to pull the plug this week. So condolences to the Knowings family, who should know her and her twin brother were in Nickelodeon's All That show. She was from that. So Nickelodeon kids of that era, condolences. And then one tragic announcement. She hasn't passed away, but she probably will be sooner or later, is Lucy Davis from the original version of The Office, British. Mm. She was also in Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was also in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
She announced that her stage 4 breast cancer has metastasized into her bones and it is incurable. So it's too late for chemo. It's too late for surgery. So our condolences to her and her family as well.
Yeah. She was the one that played Hilda, right?
And, yes.
Yeah. And then was Edda in Wonder Woman. Like she was like the
sidekick. Yes.
Sidekick. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of sidekick. And in Shaun of the Dead, she was the little blonde best friend of the girlfriend who happened to be in love with the guy friend, you know.
Yeah.
She was a very popular side character, like supporting actress. It's a shame. It sucks. Because from what I hear, she's one of the nicest people.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
So, you know, we just had Steel City this past weekend and we had a little bit of a hospital emergency over the weekend. Christopher Lambert had to be taken to the hospital.
Oh, shit. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, because he had a fainting spell. Yeah. He did come back and they said he was okay. He got overheated and just passed out. He came back, though, and apparently he signed autographs and everything went after that well, but he just had a stop at the local hospitals. So I heard it was pretty good, except I guess there was an incident with Ken. What's his last name? The Asian American actor from Hangover. Ken.
Like Dr. Ken?
No, Ken. His name is actual Ken. I just don't know his.
Yeah, he's an actual doctor.
Doctor. Okay.
Yeah, he was a doctor before he was an actor.
Actor. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Apparently, there was a thing about line rage. Apparently, someone cut like the line and had a giant Karen moment caught on video, and there were multiple posts about it on Facebook. It did not go well. Apparently Steel City kind of told people to shut up about it.
Well,
classic
I'm not
Steel City fashion.
Listen, I'm not going to shit on them because like that could have happened to us and it could have been taken out of context.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know, like the guys that are out there, they do put on a really good show. It's not the same kind of show we do. So it's not, you can't compare it as apples to apples, but you know, like that sucks, and whatever was going on to make that person actually step out of line and do that also sucks. So, you know, I just
what the situation was, like the multiple, like I actually knew somebody that was there in line when it happened. This girl just went off, or not girl, this woman. So she Karen'd, it was a Karen situation. She did not want to wait, even though there were people in front of her. So she just took it upon herself to cut in line. Now, I put it on the volunteers who were watching the line that did not control that. That is not acceptable. I wouldn't exactly blame it on the show people, like, or the show owners, showrunners. If you hire somebody to do that job, or they volunteer their time, do the job you were asked of. Could it have been prevented? Sure, but there has to be control to a degree somewhere. You can't control everybody, you know. And there are I noticed there are more and more Karen moments. And what's the male version of that? Was it?
I don't really care.
I'm
tired Karen of the phrase Karen moment as well. Like, I just, like, somebody had an outburst. Okay, cool. It happens.
Yeah.
Like I'm not really,
but it's
not exactly worried about it.
Yeah, but
like I said, it does happen. I've seen it happen at bigger shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know.
I'm sure it happens in New York and.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know how it ended up. Like, if they you know, made peace with the person, whatever. I hope they did. I don't know what happened. I hope that Dr. Ken was cool with it, after everything.
They said he was the least of the problem. He took everything with stride.
Yeah, and then that's all that matters then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as long as he was cool about it and he made it good for everybody, then that's a good show guest. That's a good...
Yeah. From what I heard,
that's good for him.
This was his first time doing Pittsburgh, I think, too.
So it's his first time doing that show for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he's been to Pittsburgh before, but I think he was here at like the improv and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I think he was here as a comedian.
Yeah. Comedian. I know he has that because I've seen that. But this is his first like kind of doing a con circuit type deal.
No, it's his first time doing this show. Because he's done con circuits when The Hangover was out. Because I definitely saw him at things.
Okay. So, The Hangover was not really that great for me. But again, not my kind of movie.
Well, I mean, I like watching one Masked Singer. That's all that I really care about. Like, with him in there. So he's done some other stuff that was pretty good, too. But mostly like The Masked Singer. I want to say he did a guest spot on Scrubs once. I'll have to double check that,
but I heard him and John Cena were wonderful. Apparently they said John Cena was awesome. So that's good to hear, you know? I think that's about the general gist of my input for the podcast.
Fair enough.
There's not much announcements from the Mills or anything. Like, we got more new dollar books. We got,
we did a dollar book rotation. They are fixing the the outer ring of the mall. It has been ripped up, so at least it doesn't have potholes in it now.
Actually, it's better now than it was.
Yeah. It hasn't been repaved yet, but it at least has been...
Yeah, but at least there's not...
It's ground flat. Out. Yeah, it's been ground out, so it's flat right now. The parking lot is not going to be done, but our parking lot section actually isn't too bad anymore since they did those patches. But the ring around the mall was very bad still, and I'm glad they're fixing that. And they're doing it all the way around it too. So, and then all the way up to Walmart. So that's good.
I'm sure Walmart had nothing to do with that.
No, it was the lawsuit that did push this whole thing.
I'm sure they pushed.
Well, when Walmart paid to get part of their own road to get repaved, that probably was not great. But that was, they had to get their product in. So, I mean, it's more stuff onto the, I imagine a lot of those businesses said that they weren't going to pay their part of rent until that happens, which, because all of them pay rent to the mall people, even though they're not mall spaces, because the road is owned by the mall, and that's part of their deal. Is they have to pay that for maintenance, and they don't. None of the maintenance was being done, and that's what all those lawsuits were for. So, I'm just glad there's headway being made on them, and that's all that matters to me. Yeah. So, okay,
we have gotten positive reviews on that, where it's like this is nice. I didn't lose anything off my car. Driving to the mall.
All right. Let's talk about some comics.
Absolute Batman 23. It's getting spicy here in the Absolute world here. We get a conversation between Alfred and his daughter about Alfred sticking around in Gotham. To continue to kind of mentor and look after Bruce, and his daughter's just kind of being like, well, she's like, well, I guess you have your son that you never had type deal. And he's like, they talk about these truths that he taught her, and she talks about her version of those truths. It gets kind of deep. Not the most spectacular way to start off the book, but it gives you a little bit more depth of character of Alfred and his daughter and their relationship. We get a little bit about the Robins and how Gotham perceives them as, like, they were looking at their social medias and how popular each Robin was over the socials. And then we find out Harley and the Red Hood gang are leaving Bruce as allies, so he's basically by himself. He's still trying to figure out how to deal with Joker, how deep everything goes, and it's driving him nuts, to be honest. You can see he's unraveling, and his friends are trying to step in and help him. And he's like, I don't want any of your help. And they're like, well, this guy did this to us, and we are going to help you. And he's like, I don't want your help. And it turned out to be like a big battle. His mom even came down and was trying to calm him down. And she admitted being in the Court of Owls. And he's like, well, you're going to tell me what the court did, or how the court is battling the Joker, what his involvement is with Joker. And he almost hit her. Like, it's like, this book got very serious. It's showing how he's unraveling and how all these games that the Joker is playing on Batman is getting to him to the point where he's shunning everybody. And he's like, I'm just going to turn myself in, and I'm just going to find out more on my own. So he just hits the streets. The Tim and Todd grab him. They capture him. Well, as they're sitting there celebrating, he looks up and he sees another Batman above them. And it's, we get our first look at Absolute Clayface. So we're adding to the pile of enemies here he's taking on, hence the cover here. And he ends up killing Tim. He suffocates him to death. He also pierces him too. It was a gruesome death. Batman unsecures himself because they had him securely tied up and everything. And he starts fighting against this Clayface. Absolute Scarecrow comes in and starts messing with his mind again too. Todd wakes up and blames Tim's death on Batman, saying, "This, you killed him, you did this to him." And he runs into the street and disappears. This was a very intense issue, more so than everything else. It's not just him fighting enemies, it's him fighting himself. His friends and family are trying to help him, but he doesn't want any of their help, as he considers them more of a burden, or he doesn't want to see them get hurt more than they already have been. And my musical choice for this book was Creep by Radiohead.
Very good.
I thought that was appropriate.
Fair enough. All right. My first book is Trillion Dollar Kid number two of two. This wraps up the first four parts of the Unbelievables. And in the last issue of the Unbelievable miniseries tie-ins, we saw his butler get what they thought was infected by a disease, like a computer virus, in the end of the Rockefeller's book. So now the Rockefellers, Harlow and Hornsby, and the Trillion Dollar Kid are going after his robot. His robot goes to a giant facility that has a bunch of robots in it, to try to stop him from doing things. And the Rockefellers tell him about how in their future there was a robot revolution overthrowing everyone. Not real great. But this book is absolutely fantastic in art. The storyline was great. They eventually get in there. They all work together to stop him. We find out that his robot actually has a mini version of the robot inside it. And it's Sterling Jr., the assistant's assistant, is what the Trillion Dollar Kid calls him, because they all call him Junior. And the Junior eventually is the one who helps Sterling set himself straight again. All the robots that are there don't get turned into a crazy robot army. And then at the end of it, once he gets his brain or head on straight, he says he actually thinks that he was infected before this, like weeks before. He's like, "I don't understand how." But if you think about it, it was probably the drone that they killed. So that there was somebody's watching them, because you find out at the end that, Vanderbrook, the other smartest kid in the world, is actually watching them with these drones and, fed the virus and is, we're pretty sure keeping the, it probably stole, his parents and, Mr. Rockefeller. And he's headed to the island of Dr. Moreau, which actually exists in this universe. So they're trying to, the Dr. Moreau has died, and they're trying to go and find his great grandson, Max Moreau, who doesn't know that he's a Moreau, I think. And then, the Rockefellers borrow, the spaceship that, Tommy has. So he's, they fly off into space because they've never flown into space and they wanted to. And, they're still searching for the Unbelievables, and they show more of them. So in next year, we're going to get Jean Genies, the Dead Tones, which is a band that's going to be in Halo and Hornsby, Invaders Y'all in the Rockefellers, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, this book is just so, like, everything that Geoff Johns and Tomasi put out to me is very, very good. So I really, really enjoyed this book. I'm going to give it Judas Priest's Electric Eye because of how much it deals with AI and robots and watching and drones and shit. So, but it's really good. The art is fantastic. You can read it as a 4-part series. You can read it as just the $2 trillion kid issues. But it's like that whole universe, that whole Ghost Machine universe is just phenomenal. I really like it.
All right, we got Wolverine number 25. I think this is the end of the ongoing series, if I'm not mistaken. The way the ending of this book was to me, it could just be just the end of the arc, which it is that. We last left off with Wolverine chasing after Dr. Moore, who turns into kind of like a machine-like Hulk kind of entity due to a virus that he injected himself with. And he also took away Wolverine's healing factor. But as they were starting to work everything out, Alpha Flight comes in and pretty much just kind of ruins that and starts a volcanic eruption, which is awesome. Nothing like the good guys starting a natural disaster. So as what is her name? Azinot, I guess, is what's that, the new head of Alpha Flight. I don't know who this character is. I don't care. They always go through their leader pretty much. All, like, they've gone through half a dozen leaders and they're all kind of jerks. This one is no exception. But she tells Puck and Snowbird to deal with Wolverine while they deal with the volcano and more. Wolverine tells Puck and Snowbird, hey, look, if I don't get to more before he dies, I'm a dead man because my healing factor isn't working. And as they're talking, of course, Azinot blasts at Wolverine and then tells them to do their jobs. Like I said, this leader seems to be a jerk. But Wolverine avoids everything as they're sitting there trying to, as Alpha Flight's trying to stop him. Because, you know, even depowered, Wolverine is still more than a match for Pocket Snowbird. He does finally catch up to the doctor, who he finally gets calmed down enough to control the virus, to push the virus down. And tells Wolverine to insert his claw into his neck and it should be able to neutralize the virus, and he should end up having his powers back within minutes. So that's what he does. And then the doctor says, good, because now you're going to have to kill me because the virus isn't going to stop until I can't control it anymore. Wolverine at first refuses because he doesn't want that on his soul. But he ends up reverting back into the monster more version, and he ends up throwing him into the volcano, stopping the eruption. And then they Alpha Flight kind of tries to, well, I should say the leader, the others kind of leave him alone, but the leader basically wants to charge Wolverine with like being a menace to society because he's a mutant. And he's like, well, no. And he starts walking away, and they're like, well, we officially can't arrest you because you are in, technically you're on the border between America and Canada, so we can't really, you know, do anything. But he's like, if we see you in Canada again, she's like, we will capture you and put you in jail. And he walks away. He kind of has a bit of a self-reflection at the end of the book, which is kind of nice. He is healed up. But we also see that he has his bone claws back, healed. He's all healed back up from his injuries, and that's basically the end of it. I kind of like the way this kind of ended. I wish they would stop doing the whole depowering, repowering him and stuff like that. I think it's been overplayed way too much. In general, it's not the worst story. The art is very nice. Like, especially like the last page is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It almost made Logan look more human than badass. And I picked a really odd song for this one. I put Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
I felt it fit just because the theme for this whole arc was him kind of reflecting on himself. And I feel like that is the essence of Man in the Mirror as a song.
Okay. Fair enough. So. All right. My next book is Regicide by Patrick Kilden and Ludovic the Light. So this book starts out with like this old guy who works in like the fields, and then this other guy with a metal mask that comes and finds the guy with the old guy, because he basically wants him to kill all of the he wants him to kill the lords and such that are keeping all these people down. So as they get up there, he's walking and the other guy's on a horse, and they come across some, what the guy thinks are beggars. He's like, no, those guys are going to try to kill us. He's like, no, they're just beggars. So he tries to tell them, hey, we don't have any money. Yeah, then they attack him and he kicks all their asses and kills them all. They get to the castle, they get into the castle, the queen is there, and she's like, yeah, all this food's for me. We'll make you guys some soup if you want to hang out. And he's like, what are we doing here? And as he says that, the queen jumps up and she has the bottom half of her body is a giant centipede. And all of her guards guys are like partial mutant insect guys. So this old guy and the guy in the mask proceed to literally rip the people's heads off and just kill everyone. And then they're off to the next place. Where these giant bees are following them. So it was super weird to follow. It's kind of hard. The art wasn't great. The art's good, but the story wasn't like super, I guess it just wasn't as polished as I hoped it would be. It felt very rudimentary, unless it was like translated badly. I don't know. But I am giving this Slayer's Reign in Blood because it literally was brutal as fuck.
You can tell just by the cover.
yeah. It was very brutal. I really enjoyed that part of it, and the fact that it's called Regicide, which means the act of killing a king. I had some friends in high school who were in a band called Regicide, and that's how I found that out. So
I feel like this is like Image's like latest thing of a lot of brutal thing, because Corpse Knight is just as brutal as this. Yeah. It is bloody. It is, you know. And I've seen quite a few Image books being like this. And it's kind of cool. Like, it taps into a little bit of the horror, a little bit of the, you know, fantasy. But
yeah.
Medieval, like, this is like the way true medieval probably was.
Oh, like, probably, yeah.
You know, how, like, gross, disgusting, everything soaked in blood and disease and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's not sugarcoated.
I don't know if they were physically ripping the heads off people, but sure.
Yeah, but, well, I'm going also by, like, what I've seen in Corpse Knight. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot of very, like, I could see that being medieval French and English, right. You know?
I did not get to read a third book, but this was going to be it if it was going to be one. Yeah, but then you read, I was like, Justin's going to read this, so I'm not going to do it. So.
Oh, I had other options, too, because there was, like, the third issue of X-Men 97, which was actually really good. And there was another book I picked up, too. So I had a hard time choosing this week. But this is Masters of the Universe number 6. And this is just Masters of the Universe. This isn't the Evil Swords or the
prequel This is the sequel to the Swords.
Is it the sequel to the Swords?
Yeah.
Okay, because it was dealing with Evil Lyn is the major focus of this book, pretty much. We get introduced to Garn and Princess Rhaenya, who are in the woods of Eternia, and they get attacked by the Snake Man. And then we are back in. We get flashed forward to training with Adam and Teela, and where they've been, you know, training. Adam gets a message from the sorceress through telepathy, and as this is going on. Evelyn is plotting Skeletor's death. And as she starts conjuring Scareglow. And we find out that Evelyn is also from Earth, which actually, that's pretty cool. Apparently she was from a wealthy family, but she was a scientist, not a sorceress. She didn't believe in magic. She was a scientist first and foremost. And when she, when she space traveled as a scientist, got caught up in the similar thing as
Adam. The co-pilot was Queen Marlena.
Oh, okay. So
That's why it says the co-pilot skidded to the front door of Eterno's palace. That's Queen Marlena.
Okay, well that makes way more sense, and that kind of ties into a little bit there too, and how the helm that she wears actually saved her life, because apparently, like, as you can see on the cover there, she was exposed to like poisonous atmosphere, and wearing that helmet actually saved her life, but she conquered. Conjure Scareglow to challenge Skeletor in an assassination attempt. And we get a nice battle between Skeletor and Scareglow, which is kind of awesome. But before Scareglow was about to name Evil Lyn as the person who conjured him, she destroys him, and Skeletor actually hugs and embraces Evil Lyn and kind of gives him like a ego boost of sorts in this typical Skeletor fashion. Meanwhile, as all that was happening, He-Man and the Masters get ambushed by the Snake Men because they were looking for Princess Rania and Garn. We find out that the Snake Men want to prevent Skeletor as well. So there is an uneasy alliance between King Hiss and the Snake Men and the Masters of the Universe. And the end of the book, we're about to start this giant war between the Masters army and the Army of Evil. Meanwhile, a separate team, yeah, call them the SEAL team of Masters and Snake Men, going in a different route to confront Skeletor at Snake Mountain. And that is the end of the book. I kind of like it, like getting that little bit of the Snake Men who don't get a lot of love in the Masters universe. I feel like they are very underrated. And they were some of the more fun toys, too, and rare toys, too, because the Snake Men didn't get introduced until like the final two lines of the toy line, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, like but I mean, in the story in the universe, though, like they were what was before Skeletor, and Skeletor like took over their entire place. That's why it's Snake Mountain.
Yeah, so they were the original, you know, baddies, but even they realized that Skeletor is more of a problem than they are. But it was cool. I chose for that one. Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden for the battle part. I figured that was worth it there. But overall, it's sounding pretty awesome. So can't wait to see what the rest of that story is.
Yeah, I really like the art because it's Riley Brown. He did that Despera for me when he was at the shop a couple months
ago. Tim Seeley's writing is awesome.
Tim Seeley really, really understands Masters, which is what I like about it. So,
yes.
Cool. Also, before we get into that, I want to wish a happy birthday to my friend Billy Tucci. I don't remember how old you are today, but happy birthday, buddy. I hope that you have a lot of she orders that come in today for it. all right. Now we're going to spoil and talk about X-Men 97's finale for the season. That's just what it's how we're gonna be. So if you don't want to hear about this, or you're waiting to watch it, pause.
Yes.
Go. But also real quick, Super Troopers 3, also funny, very good. Go check it out. Better than the second one, not quite as good as the first one.
Isn't that the way third movies of a trilogy tends to be? That third movie always tends to be better than the second, but not as good as the first one.
No, because I can definitely like Star Wars is a great example where that's not true. Star Trek, same thing. Lord of the Rings, same thing. Maybe The Hobbit, though. The third Hobbit movie. Only because the second one was like very, very slow and drug out. But it just happens every once in a while, or the second movie wasn't what they thought it was going to be, and then course correct for the third. Because the second movie of Super Troopers was pretty much the first movie all over again. This one is a little different. It's Ramathorn's sister is marrying Farva, and he's trying to stop the wedding from happening, all kinds of shenanigans ensue. It's very, very, very funny. And there are moments where you're like, oh, he's going to do it. And then it totally backfires. And it's like, nice. What the fuck? Like, it's so funny. But I saw it last week before I went into the store for the pre-release, which didn't actually end up happening. So
that's funny. But it fired it.
Yeah, I know. It was a little lower. I know it was a little lower at some of the other stores. I don't know what the deal is, but Hobbit's out. So yeah. If you're into Hobbits,
people are going nuts. I know that much. The card prices are insanity.
Yeah.
That is my comment on those.
All right. So now we'll talk about X-Men. My whole thing about this whole season.
Do we want to do the episode first and then we'll talk about the season as
I'm going to do it this way. Like, this season started off pretty good. Like, the first 3 to 4 episodes, first half, I would say, is not bad. It's fairly good. Not quite as good as the last season, but pretty close. After that, it just kind of dips down. And then there's the random Polaris episode that's very good, and then it dips down again. They felt weird, they felt out of place, they felt not anywhere near where they should be in the comic book realm. And I don't really know how else to explain it because they obviously couldn't do the continuity as it was in the comics because they didn't. They fucked it up in the 90s when they did this the first time. So there's a lot of stuff that they kind of had to sort of make right. And for the most part, they were really on a good pattern there for a while. And then this season, like I said, halfway through, it just kind of...
Yeah.
And dies out. And I thought the finale was... not very good at all. The whole Rogue's gonna get the power of the Celestials to go and take Apocalypse out of Remy. I was like, what the fuck is this? This doesn't happen in any comic at all. Like, this is a completely made-up thing.
They totally made that up for the whole period. There was no continuity there at all. I look at it this way, and I told you this before we started the podcast, there are theories. Now, again, I am not rooting. There was a reason I don't know the name of the writer or the creative force, the guy that got suspended, or not suspended, fire, whatever you want to call it, because he was creepy or he did some inappropriate stuff, and we still don't know if that was true or not. Aside from the creepy factor in that, it was what else? Like, there was no anything in his background prior to this, but only God knows this point.
That's why I would never even state anything that you just stated, because I don't know what actually happened. And I'm not going to throw allegations. Nothing ever came out of any kind of allegations. They just said he was released. That was literally it. Like, nothing has been officially stated as to why.
No, it's all.
So that's why I'm not going to talk about any of the possibilities, because he could have stolen a pencil. We don't know. It could have been something but stupid.
Apparently it was a fireable offense, according to Disney, which, again, I don't have a lot of faith in Disney. You're talking about a multi-billion-dollar corporation that just does whatever the hell they want. So you could sneeze in the wrong direction, and they're like, oh, you're no good
for the F out. I don't necessarily know that it was anything that big, because he wasn't escorted off the property.
He just said,
hey, just so you know, we're going another direction type thing. So I don't necessarily know that it was anything.
I think
it bad. Was and he was and they allowed him at all the premieres, so it can't be that bad. That's bad, the way I look at it.
But so them, because they let him go, they said he had a set plan, and he actually revealed this to several podcasters and influencers of this is what he wanted for the second season. And they didn't want anything to do with any of that. they redid that whole second half of this second season. Now, I don't know what was kept and what was redone, but I think we could take an educated guess of the apocalypse part was definitely all him. But after the apocalypse part, all those episodes after that, like you said, it was up and down. It didn't make sense. We were going back and forth in, like, why all this? Why are we doing one episode of Wolverine doing the Weapon X thing, and then the next episode is Polaris joining the X-Men? You know, there was no flow. The flow was off. Like I said, I'm glad they brought Gambit back, because that him as a character, you have to have him in the 90s X-Men. I couldn't picture him not being part of the 90s X-Men. I'm still disappointed that we literally got, this is the second time that they've kind of made Colossus a side character and virtually did nothing with him. And he was a big, big part of X-Men, like in the 90s. Huge part. And he's just kind of like, he's a babysitter. He's watching over the kids in the X-Mansion. That's it. That's it. That is his contribution to the team.
Well, you got to remember that before the original X-Men 90s show came out, they did that pilot for Pride of the X-Men, right? Yes. And he was on that team. Also, yes. Kitty Pryde was on that team. She's nowhere to be found. And yeah. She was a huge part of the 90s stuff, because where this should have started, Excalibur should have been starting over in England, and that's where Kitty was after being part of the X-Men. So, yeah. Like, now is actually when Jubilee would have been started to coming into the fold. Like, it's very...
Yeah. Sort of weird, which, yeah. She was definitely one of the better parts of the second series. Season, so I give props to giving Jubilee kind of a upgrade, if yeah. lack of a better term, makes her look more badass, which I'm all for. I did not like the fact that they kind of pushed Storm aside. Apparently, that was another thing that the creator or the director, whatever you want to call him, he wanted Storm to be more of a leadership role, like she was when Scott left and been more of a leader. We saw her for like what, episode and a half total, maybe? Like,
right.
The entire city. Like a lot of the X-Men that we wanted to see didn't really get a lot of spotlight. It was Xavier, it was Cyclops, it was Jean, it was Cable, which I'm cool with giving Cable more.
I don't even think that at all. I think like this whole season has been no one specifically focused at all. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because like the Rise of Apocalypse parts, he split the team up, then he brought all the team back, and then it was Wolverine, then it was X-Factor, or then it was X-Force. Then it was like this whole, we're going to try to bring back Gambit, and then we're going to pit X-Force against X-Force and X-Factor against X-Men, and it's nobody's actual show anymore. It's very all over the place, and it's so not cohesive. Like, not to say the original version was very cohesive either, because there were definitely weird episodes like that, especially in the last season, but this felt like the last season of the original show.
Yeah.
More than it felt like the first season of this show, because it is just so all over the place, and just it didn't, to me, I didn't feel like it strung together a coherent story, and it kind of grasped at different stories to pull different things. Like, we never really got the New Mutant stuff. We never got Phantom X. We never got Beak. Well, I take it back. We got Beak. You see him in the very last episode but he's facing forward and he's reading a chalkboard as somebody's drawn on a chalkboard.
Yeah. But you see some of the young.
We don't get Zorn. We don't get any of that fun shit, like any of that cool 90s shit. They're now almost skipping into like the mid 2000s. It's almost mid 2000s already.
We got that with the Grant Morrison stuff, which I'm kind of glad they did stick a little bit of the Grant Morrison because he is part of X-Men.
Yeah, but they didn't really do anything of that story. They literally just went, here's the costumes. That's it.
Well,
and that was
X-Corp.
It.
X-Corp.
And X-Corp.
Also part
and that was it. That was it. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
So it was
it was, like we said, it was, there was no cohesive story, like after the Apocalypse part.
Yeah, that's it, felt very disappointing.
Yeah, and I have no issue with the whole Gambit and Rogue love saga. We get that now. That's definitely something that X-Men fans do love, is everybody loves the pair of Jean and Cyclops, Rogue and Gambit. You know, and maybe to a lesser extent, if you're deep cut, it's Storm and Wolverine, because they would be technically the third couple when Wolverine's not pining for Jean.
Well, or Storm and Forge, because that happened too.
Yeah, so. Which actually I think that's still going on by the half an episode that we saw them together.
But the only other cool thing that I thought from this season, or from the finale, the only cool other cool part of it was you got to see Storm in her black outfit. Which we never got to see. Yeah. So she's now transitioned to the 2000s outfit. So that's why I'm like, are they just skipping all the rest of the 90s storylines? Just going right into that? Because that would suck. That would really suck.
Now we got what? They left it wide open. So now I guess season 3 is going to be humans versus mutants all over again. Because we saw at the very end there that Creed won the American election,
whatever. Yeah.
So now they have a mutant bigoted president. Shocking, because you know that's not happening in real life or anything. But you see we get Mystique in finally. As she kills what's her name, the head of X Factor there, so she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's cool. I'm cool with that because that steers right into Mystique's wheelhouse of kind of just doing whatever the heck she wants. A little weird, though, that she pops up after Apocalypse gets imprisoned and everything, which I kind of liked the whole Rogue being like getting celestial powers and the Nightcrawler sacrificing himself. That was very on. That was very on brand for Nightcrawler character wise.
Yeah, but
it
just
never happened in the comics. Right. But I see that him doing something like that. And actually, if you're going to go, it was kind of Krakoa-esque, him sacrificing himself. Anybody who remembers the very beginning of the Krakoa era, when Wolverine and Nightcrawler sacrificed themselves. And was it issue 1 or issue 2?
Well, it's actually more in tune to when he was in X Factor and he sacrifices himself for, I think it's Namorita, and he like takes some kind of bullet for, and he dies, and then he goes to heaven, and then how does that work? It's, I forget who the villain is, ends up trying to go in, Azazel tries to invade heaven because of his connection with Nightcrawler, and that's when all the little bamps come out, and he bamps all the X-Men to heaven to fight to defend heaven, and then it rips him back into the world, but doing so, he loses his soul. So that's gonna, like, I'm like, so are they gonna play into that? I don't know, but no. I guess we'll see.
But it, like I said, they, you saw where it was going, like continuity wise, after the apocalypse. They're like I said on the previous podcast, is like, it seemed like they were gearing towards Onslaught. And,
or at least Zorn, like at least the new X-Men stuff, because you have to have Zorn in there, yeah. And that was before that too.
Yeah.
So, but like they have to bring back Magneto before they can do that. Yeah. So,
but the like I said, the leaked Rumorville whatever information was, his plan was he wanted this huge gigantic battle at the end of season two, where it was Avengers, X-Men, X-Force, X-Factor, all taking on Onslaught. And I'm like,
because I thought I had heard that it wasn't Onslaught, it was actually going to be
Massacre, I think.
No, Strife. They were going to bring Strife in.
Okay.
No,
that wouldn't have been bad either, because Strife is...
He's just a different Nathan Summers, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't, because that would have made sense with the setup of all the Ikari Sun stuff they do at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So,
but again, it's one of those things of they missed the mark majorly.
All I want out of this next season is I want them to do the X Factor issue with Longshot and Shatterstar and show how they're related. That's all I want, because I want people to finally understand it, because it's so fucking weird, and it's that it could only be have been written by Peter David.
Are we going to get a Deadpool appearance in season three, other than Morph turning into Deadpool? Because he's done it in two iterations of.
We got Dr. Octopus in this one, so
that's true.
Well,
actually, and he was also Wolverine, so yeah. I like the fight between Archangel and Psylocke and Morph and Wolverine. That was probably the funniest part to me in that episode, when she goes in and she tries to psychically mess with his mind, and Wolverine's like, "Ha!" He's like, "My brain's messed up to begin with," and he just beats the shit out of her.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I'm like, yeah, that's a very Wolverine thing to do. And I'm like,
All right. Well, either way, I gave this season like a 6.5 out of 10. Like, it was,
for the most part,
fairly good, but not, it wasn't, definitely not as good. Yeah, it's like a C+.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think it was the worst it could be. It just kind of fell apart toward the end, in my opinion. Yeah. So
where I think the first season, I would get season one of 97. I would give like an A, or
I wouldn't give it an A+, but I give it an A.
Yeah,
because there were definitely a couple things there that was like, no, I would just give it a regular A, like a non plus minus, just A, because there were only a few things in there I found,
weird. But you could definitely tell that, like I said, that transition, we see it, and let's hope that they kind of get their
shit together.
Yeah, shit straight. Yeah. Please no use of AI to help you write scripts, which I'm taking a sneaking suspicion that they might try that, thinking that that's going to be better than
writers. I don't think they're going to use it for that. I think they're going to use it for the animation. Which will really suck.
Yeah, that'll be worse.
Yep.
To be honest.
So. But anyway, go watch it. Judge for yourself. Let us know how you feel. And then also go check out Nimrods this weekend, which is the story. It's a band that meets Green Day, and they give them a shot to open for them. It's actually the story of Green Day told in reverse, because that actually happened with Green Day. Comes out tomorrow. So I may go check that out on Sunday. It looks pretty good. I still haven't seen The Odyssey, so I need to see that too. Anyway, we'll see everybody next week. By the way, next week's going to be early because Justin and I are going to see Down and Helmet at CJE Thursday night. So it'll probably be around 10 o'clock next week. So we will see you guys next week. So have a good week.